cracks are showing in one of the biggest ripoffs in American life. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and you are listening to Plain English, the podcast that helps you upgrade your English with current events and trending topics. This is lesson number 666. So that means our producer, JR, has uploaded the full lesson content to plainenglish.com/666. What are the biggest ripoffs in American life? Things like short-term payday lending, extended warranties, printer cartridges, and airport food all come to mind. But with those, you at least have the option not to buy them. I think some of the biggest ripoffs are the wastes of money that you can't avoid. And one of the biggest ones is real estate commissions. Americans pay some of the highest rates to brokers when they buy and sell homes, far higher than they pay in the UK, Australia, and in other countries. But now, after a recent court judgment, American home buyers and sellers may be getting some relief. That's our main story today. As you know, in every plain English lesson, we show you exactly how to use an English expression. The expression I'll share with you today is to put something in the best possible light. I think we're ready. Let's get started. In many parts of life, technology has eliminated expensive intermediaries, or at least reduced their cost. You don't need a travel agent to book a cruise, a plane ticket, or a hotel room. You don't need an expensive human stockbroker to buy and sell stocks. But if you live in the United States, you do need an expensive real estate agent to buy or sell a home, and you have no choice in the matter. Every year in the United States, between 5 and 6 million homes are bought and sold. The total value of homes traded last year was about $1.5 trillion. And in about 90% of sales, the buyer and the seller use a real estate agent. The agents earn a commission to help facilitate the sale. The commission is calculated as a percentage of the selling price of the house. The custom is that the seller pays the commission from the proceeds of the sale, and the seller pays both sides. That means the seller's agent gets about 3%, the buyer's agent gets about 3%, and it's all deducted from the payment that the seller receives at closing. Real estate agents do important work. Seller's agents help homeowners determine the asking price. They arrange for professional photographers to show the home in the best possible light. They write a description of the property. They help the sellers choose which offer to accept. They host open houses and arrange for buyers to see the property. Buyers' agents can help home buyers get to know new neighborhoods, take tours of homes for sale, and submit offers. They advise buyers on how much to offer. They recommend local inspectors, and they help people through what can be a stressful and confusing time. So they do good and valuable work, and they should be paid for the work they do. But the problem for home buyers and sellers is that they don't have any choice in the matter. They have to hire an agent even if they don't want to. And they have to pay the full commission even if they don't need all the services an agent provides. That's because the trade organization representing real estate agents has one key stranglehold on the industry. They control the database of homes listed for sale, and they use that control to their advantage. In the US, if you want to browse homes for sale, you can go to Realtor.com, the official site of the real estate agents. You can go to any single agent's website. You can go to a third-party site like Zillow. But all the data comes from just one place, the local databases controlled by the agents. And in that database, agents create a record to publicize a home for sale. Right inside that record, the seller says what commission they're offering buyer's agents. In practice, this means that agents from both sides tacitly work together to guarantee a high-priced commission for themselves, and this often happens without customers' knowledge. For real estate agents, this is a cozy arrangement. Home buyers typically don't mind. They get full service for free since the seller pays for it. And home sellers are afraid to negotiate a lower commission because they want their listing in the database and they want buyers to come to their house. And so it won't come as a surprise to you that real estate commissions are higher in the United States than in almost any other country. In fact, Americans pay double or triple the typical commissions in many other developed countries like the UK and Australia. But recent court cases have challenged this arrangement. Homeowners have sued the National Association of Realtors, the Agents Trade Association. The homeowners say the agents' control of the database amounts to monopolistic behavior, and that they, the sellers, are harmed because they are forced to pay commissions that are too high and not determined in a competitive market. Juries are starting to agree. In November last year, a court case in the state of Missouri ordered agents and their trade associations to pay $1.8 billion in damages. And last month, agents in Chicago settled a different lawsuit. They've started to agree to let buyers and sellers have more control over the commissions they pay. Optimists say that the age of the 6% commission is ending, slowly but surely. They say that after these court cases, home buyers and sellers will soon have the freedom to choose the services they want and the price they'll pay for them. I hope they're right. But pessimists say that real estate agents will find other ways to control the market. Buyers' agents may only steer their clients toward sellers that include high commissions in their offers. And agents may simply not offer lower priced services out of fear that they'll be punished or shunned by fellow agents. If that happens, and if there are no choices on offer, then what good is the freedom to choose? We pay 5.5% to 6% of every home sale just to the agents. The typical home sells for $400,000 US. So that means that home sellers pay on average $24,000 just in commissions to the agents. Now, I said earlier that agents do good and valuable work and they should be paid for it. But this is out of all proportion to the value they add to the process. I've bought 2 homes and sold 1. Both times I bought a home, I did probably 80% of the agent's work myself. And the fact that agents control every aspect of buying and selling means that technological improvement is just shut out of the whole process. There's no room for innovation. Every time I bought or sold a home, it was like being transported to a previous age where everything was done manually, there were no systems, and you just had to accept the way things were and pay an eye-watering sum for the privilege. Today, I'm going to show you how to use the expression in the best possible light. We typically say to paint something or to put something or to describe something in the best possible light. Sometimes in life, there is an objective truth. This house was built in 2010. That means a house was constructed in the year 2010. If you said it was constructed in 2017 or in 1990, then those would be untrue statements. But often there are shades of gray. Painting something in a positive light or in the best possible light is not about truth and lies. It's about finding a way to say true things that give you the best possible advantage. There are ways of describing something that make that thing sound good. How about this? Same house. This house was recently built. Okay, it's 2024. The house was built in 2010. This house was recently built. Is this true or untrue? Well, let's see. It wasn't built in the last few years, that's for sure. But the average house in the United States is 40 years old. So our 2010 house was built much more recently than the average house was. Maybe it's in a neighborhood with a lot of homes that are 50, 75, 100 years old. So you tell me, true or not, this house was recently built. It's not a lie exactly, but it's describing the age in the best possible light. And when you describe something in the best possible light, you describe it in a way that is true, or let's say, not untrue, but in a way that makes it sound as good as possible. How about this? The bedrooms are small. The bedrooms are tiny. They just have one small window. If you want to describe this in the best possible light, you might say, the bedrooms are cozy, perfect for a young family. If the interior is old, with old windows and old appliances, you might say, this house has old world charm. You see what I mean here? So real estate agents are good at describing a house in the best possible light. They're good at writing the description in a way that is not untrue and that sounds as good as possible without crossing a line. Now, there's nothing morally wrong with this. Describing something in the best possible light is something you do when you're trying to get some kind of advantage, but you're also trying to be honest. Let's say you got laid off from a previous job and it's now 2 years later. You're applying for a new job. They're going to ask you what you've been doing for the last 2 years. Let's say the truth is this. You lived off your savings or your spouse's income during that time. You did some solid relaxing. You spent some time with your family. You did some yoga. You took an online course. In the interview, when they ask you about this, you could say, I honestly didn't do very much. I did a lot of relaxing. But that's not the answer I would recommend. You want to describe this time in the best possible light. You want to say things that are true, but you are the one who gets to choose how to say them. So when you choose how to describe your time away from the workforce, you want to make this description seem as advantageous to you as possible. I took the time to learn some new skills, you might say. I had to focus on my health, you might say. Not a lie. Not a lie. You did take that online course. You did do some yoga. You're painting your time away in the best possible light. This happens anywhere in the market. Anytime there are pros and cons, multiple ways of looking at things. We've talked about weight loss drugs. The drug makers paint these drugs in the best possible light. If you were to paint weight loss drugs in the best possible light, you might say, they're easy to take. Now listen, this is not a lie, but you do have to inject them. Some people might say that's hard, but it's certainly easier than getting surgery, and it's only once a week, and it comes in a plastic dispenser, so it's easy to take. That's debatable, but it's painting the drug in the best possible light. Well, that brings us to the end of lesson 666. Remember, the transcripts, quizzes, the exercises, and all the lesson resources are at plainenglish.com/666. That is thanks to JR, the producer. And if you want to get more involved in English, practice your speaking, your listening, and your writing, then consider joining us as a Plus member. You can learn all about that at plainenglish.com/plus, P-L-U-S. We'll be back on Thursday with a new lesson. See you then.